This is the smell of a warm 3-day-old egg salad sandwich in a Wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, Wimpy, Wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a hefty, ultra-strong trash bag with new Fabuloso lemon scent.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Smell the difference? When life gives you stinky, get Hefty Ultra Strong with new Fabuloso lemon scent. It smells like clean, freshly picked lemons. So no matter what's inside your trash, you can stop the stink and smell the lemon.
Hello, and welcome to It's a Fandom Thing. I'm your host, Erin Marlowe, and each week I'm joined by a panel of guests to discuss all things fandom and pop culture, primarily from a female perspective. You'll find everything from fanfic, to cosplay, to Schitt's Creek, to Supernatural, and everything in between. So put on your favorite piece of fandom merch, set aside that fanfic that you're writing about your OTP, and sit back and enjoy this week's episode. Hello, and welcome to It's a Fandom Thing. I have been talking a lot lately about how I do not like the show we are covering tonight. So I'm giving you a warning again. If you are still a big, big fan of How I Met Your Mother, and I don't know, Megan might have a lot more positive things to say about this than I do. But if you're a huge fan and if you only want to listen to praise about this show, I highly recommend you stop listening now. I mean, I don't want to, you know, get rid of listeners, but I also don't want to make people angry. So a warning there that I am not a fan of this show. There might be some positive things said, but just a big heads up on that. I know there are a lot of people that hate the finale. So I believe most people are in agreement with that, but I just wanted to make sure to get that across first. So people didn't start listening and then rage quit the show and then send me a lot of hate mail and all that stuff. So you know way in advance what you're in for. This was a first time watch for me. I'd watched a couple of episodes, like friends would be watching them and I'd kind of watch it in as background noise. But this was the first time I actually sat down and really paid attention to the show. And I have been binging it on and off for a couple months now. I took a break for other shows that we're covering. And I literally about 20 minutes or so before we started this recording, finished the series finale. So it's really fresh in my mind. I have a lot of thoughts actually on that finale. So we'll definitely be getting into that. But before Megan and I kick off this fun conversation, it will be fun, I promise. No matter what, it'll be fun. Before we kick that off, I just want to know, Megan, what are you into right now in pop culture?
So it's funny because I've actually taken like a little bit of a detox for most pop culture things right now because I'm tired and I've been reading. Reading is not as expensive as a lot of things I found out. So I have my library card and I read a lot of books now and it's amazing. Like I still get the entertainment I'm seeking, yeah. But I also like don't have to spend a lot of money on things. And I'm like, wow, this is amazing. I want to give a shout out to, you know, Bad Bunny's new album. You know, it's been breaking a lot of records on Spotify and I'm really happy for him because, you know, it's not often that we get to see international artists, especially here in the US, really make that groundbreaking sort of like eruption, even here in the US, which is considered highly unexpected, even though we have like BTS who is international superstars and they can't even win a Grammy. And that's garbage too. But I was just so happy because as somebody who's been listening to Bad Bunny since the beginning, it's nice to see this growth and to see him continue to, you know, fight for things that he cares about. A couple of songs on there talk about very important things that I care about, like domestic violence and that, and how important it is for, you know, people to be aware that it's something that affects the Latinx community significantly and we need to stand up against it. And the song about Puerto Rico and how much we love Puerto Rico and how white investors need to mind their business and stop treating these people like second level citizens. And even though they're not technically a state with us, they should be, if not more, because they bring in a lot of profits, things that the U.S. needs. And this was Bad Bunny standing up for them in one of his songs. And I'm a full supporter of that. I love an artist that really talks about things that are important. And granted, I know a lot of his stuff is sexually graphic and it's not for everyone. I understand that too. And at that point, if that's something that offends you, don't listen to it. But otherwise, I do appreciate that he also does donate to significant causes I care about. So that's a great thing in pop culture I love.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah, I know you mentioned Bad Bunny. I think that might have even been the last time you were on just a while ago. But
it's never ending.
No, I think that's great. I think that's great. That's awesome. Well, what I'm into is Hulu, and I haven't watched the fifth part yet. Hulu did a 5-night event with a – I'm telling you, Hulu is becoming the new true crime central place. With this show called Candy. And I guess actually HBO Max is going to have another thing covering the same case. And this is about back on the 13th, I think it was June 13th, 1980. I could be getting that date wrong, so I apologize. Candy Montgomery killed her, this woman, Betty Gore, with an axe. She used the axe. She was hit with the axe 41 times. And she said she did it in self-defense because she had had an affair with Betty's husband that had ended. She said Betty found out about the affair, threatened her with the axe. Candy got the axe away from her. And then I guess when you're killing someone in self-defense, you have to do that 41 times. There's also a quote out there that supposedly she also said she stopped once her arm got tired. So I'm sorry, but whatever. But the most bizarre thing about this, and spoilers about this case, if you don't know about this case, is she was found not guilty by the jury, okay? She never served any time for this crime, really. So she actually works in the mental health field. So that is the most bizarre part about this. It's horrible. It's bizarre. So,
wow, look at the Constitution once again not doing what it's supposed to do. It's almost like we need to update it or something. I don't know. Like, what a thought.
It's bizarre that the jury would be like, there was so much evidence. She took a shower there to wash off the blood. She had cuts. She had, you know, she had a shoe print there, a fingerprint. She confessed to doing it.
Was she pretty?
She was sort of pretty.
Because I'm wondering, because like for this woman to be named Candy, and I do notice this a lot in our court cases, there's a couple studies on it about, you know, how attractive like the defendant looks. And, you know, like a prime example of that, Ted Bundy, like all these women love Ted Bundy, did not see him as guilty, even though he did what he did. So that is very interesting. I wouldn't shower over there.
Yeah, it's bizarre. And Jessica Biel plays Candy. And then Melanie Lynskey plays Betty Gore. So it goes back and forth in time. And like I said, I haven't seen the next one. I think it's really interesting. It's really good. It's just bizarre because I had never really heard about this case. So I looked it up when I started watching it. And when I found out she was found not guilty, I was like, what the heck? I don't know. Self-defense. I wouldn't think you'd be. And then there was something about some word that she said that triggered Candy or a repressed memory or something like that. So I haven't gotten to that part yet. So I'm wondering if they're going to cover that in this final episode, which I haven't watched yet. And then it'll be interesting to see another thing about it too. Another movie that's going to be made, like it's a 2-night movie event, I think, or something at HBO. So that'll be interesting too. With that one though, I'm really curious because Lily Rabe, who we all love Lily Rabe on this podcast, yes, because of American Horror Story especially, but she is going to be playing Betty Gore, the Betty Gore character. So it'll be interesting to kind of watch these two and then compare them. And I can't remember for the life of me who is playing Candy Montgomery. But anyway, So that's on Hulu. It's interesting. If you're into true crime, I highly, highly recommend it. So, yeah. So we're going to start talking about How I Met Your Mother. And I want to start just with a couple of, if you don't know what How I Met Your Mother is, I guess I should tell you what this is if you don't know. But basically, this is about you're following Ted Mosley as he's telling his kids in the future how he met their mother. And it's all about him and his friends, Barney, Robin, Lily, and Marshall. And it's about their love lives and traversing New York City as young Gen X millennials slash millennials. I think they're more on the Gen X side. But yeah, so it's basically Friends. It's so much like Friends. And I know they were criticized a lot for being like Friends, but it's a lot like Friends in some ways. But you're following along until the end, until the last season when you find out who the mother is. And then, of course, that finale, which we'll get into. Just a couple of little trivia facts here. There are only 18 times throughout the entire series that Barney, played by Neil Patrick Harris, shows up without a suit. However, these are often other types of suits, like a snowsuit or a flight suit. The clock in Marshall, Jason Segel, and Ted, Josh Radner's, apartment is always set at 4:20. The only exception is in the second episode of season 2, where it's set to 1:10 p.m. Barney is truly the inventor of the bro code, the rules which he feels a man must follow in order to be considered a quote-unquote bro. According to the number of Google searches, the phrase was non-existent until 2008. That was pretty interesting. Because of the numerous scenes and the quick-cut nature of the show's visual style, the show is filmed without the traditional live studio audience. The finished episode is later shown to an audience, and their reactions are recorded and added for broadcast. The series creators joke that the long setup time between scenes would cross the line from studio audience to hostage situation. And I just want to say, then you didn't need to have the laughter in there then. If you weren't actually even filming in front of a studio audience, I'm just going to say that because we've been spoiled by that now. So I think it sounds different now when you watch stuff like this. But yeah. Okay. So I know I've warned everybody that I'm going to be pretty negative about this show, but we're going to start with some favorite moments. So I just want to know, Megan, what are three of your favorite moments or episodes or...
So I'm someone that has actually read the bro code, but it was mostly because I was very inspired by how Neil Patrick Harris portrayed Barney, because you wouldn't expect someone like him to take this role and really just throw himself into it and not be condescending about it, or, you know, be like a full on, like just one dimension. Like, he really became what he thought this character would be. And that just shows how great of an actor he is for playing something that, unfortunately, that kind of character is against someone like him or was during that time. And that's the unfortunate thing. But he changed the whole rhetoric on that. And it was nice and refreshing to see that. And that's why I kind of read the bro code, because I was like, this isn't going to be like some man telling me that, like, this is how X, Y, and Z works. This is going to be Neil Patrick Harris telling me how X, Y, and Z works in the voice of Barney. And it proved to be helpful for me personally, but I just love when Barney, when he goes on his weird tidbits, or like there was that one bit he did about like time traveling or whatever, and how he would use that on girls to, you know, get them to sleep with him or whatever. It's just these very complex, overthought out plans, because this man is just very insecure, and it was just the most forthcoming and honest representation of that. And I really liked how Neil Patrick Harris really just took it by the balls and was like, you know what, I'm going to give the audience what they need. They need to see how much of a jackass this is. But to the point of where you see the vulnerability or the cracks, and not just the yell, 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 and my point, my point, my point. So that is one thing I enjoyed about the show. I also enjoyed seeing Robin as a pop star in her youth. That was a beautiful sort of character development for her, because, you know, they very much had her just coined as, you know, the cool girl, and like she's cooler than any girl because she hangs out with the boys and she drinks scotch and not whiskey, and it has to be older than her father, and like just these very weird, like standoffish, like it's okay for boys to treat me this way because I am one of them, like kind of mentality. So it was nice to see her have this other side of, oh, I was a girly girl and I still kind of am. I just hide it because I know men are trash and are going to treat me like trash because of it. So it was nice to see more of that dynamic in her. And then my third favorite thing was Slapsgiving, any of the slaps, the slap bet between Barney and Marshall, just because Barney was so arrogant and just constantly like, I'm better than everyone, blah, blah, blah. And then you had Marshall, who was supposed to be the moral character. It's questionable, but, you know, for the most part, he's not as like bad as counterpart Ted. Ted is just the extreme of nice guy and everything. Even Marshall has to call him out on it and be like, hey, dude, like you're being an absolute jerk right now. So he's more of our moral compass guy. And to see him slap Barney, it gave me peace as someone that would date around with Barney types. Like it helped heal me. So thank you, Marshall, for that. And that's what I like about this show. These just very prominent moments. That is it. Nothing to do with Ted Mosby, even though the entire show's about him. I could give two. If they just took him out, I probably have more appreciation for this show.
Yeah, I have to agree 100,000 times with that. And we're going to talk about the characters here too. So I won't say too much about my hatred for Ted, but I do not like this character. I cannot stand him. I will say I'm not a big fan of most of the characters in here. I will say that. But there are moments with the other characters that I can appreciate. I don't really have any moments with Ted that I can appreciate, to be honest. We'll get to that in a second here. As much as I'm not a big fan of this show, I really did like all the wedding episodes leading up to Robin and Barney getting married, which actually should have been the finale of this show, if you ask me. Should have been just then Ted meets his wife and that's it. We didn't need the flash forward. Anyway, sorry, I'm going ahead there, but still. I liked those. I liked the fact that for the wedding, they, you know, a lot of shows will have that just be one or two episodes. I liked that it was so many episodes. And, you know, there was a lot of like, these are two people. Robin and Barney are both two people who have a hard time committing because of their own insecurities, really. I think they both really, really want love and want to settle down. And I think they made perfect sense together. And so watching them traverse their own, you know, they both are having panic attacks on the day of their wedding. They both are wanting to run away, especially Robin, I think, even more than Barney. And it was interesting watching that, watching their dynamics and watching one moment I really liked. And I will say this, and I apologize, Megan, I am not a Neil Patrick Harris fan. I'm just not. But he kind of grew on me in this role. And I really, the moment when he thinks he's going to get, I love that it was all these like Ryan Murphy people together. But when he thinks he's going to get his mom, played by the amazing Frances Conroy, together with his dad, because they like are cordial with each other. They're not even like, there's no spark. And he's just like, they're gonna fall in love. And he sets up the whole thing where they get trapped in the elevator. And he's like sending off his dad's wife to go to basically, he wants her to die. And he like writes this fake suicide note and all this stuff and has this romantic dinner in the elevator. That was kind of hilarious to me, just because it spoke to that. That's what he had always wanted his whole life, was like a normal family. And there was no hint at all that they had any spark. And he just went with just this little thing of the fact that they were not arguing and went, okay, that means they're going to get together. And so I just thought it really, really captured who he was deep down. And so that was just, I thought that was really hilarious. I liked that a lot. And I love Marshall. Marshall is my favorite character on here. It's probably a lot to do with Jason Segel. I love him.
He's
so
such
much.
A great actor, though. I and he was at him. His prime at this time. He deserved better than this show, truly.
I agree. I have a real big soft spot for him. Like, I know a lot of people have problems with his character on Freaks and Geeks. But I love his character on Freaks and Geeks, but I think a lot of that is because of him. So when I see him in something, I forgive a lot of stuff he does. Honestly, I have a big bias for him. I adore him. I want to just like sit and like, I don't like getting high. I'm not one of those people that likes getting high, but I would sit there and I would do that with him, or just eat brownies together and talk for hours and hours. I would love to do that with him. He just seems like someone you'd want to do that with.
Would you watch Star Wars with him, though? Because that was his telltale sign of that's the perfect girl. If she sits there and watch Star Wars.
Yes, I would watch Star Wars with him. Yes, I would. I could tell them. I used to for Halloween every year for years when I was a kid. I would dress up as Princess Leia.
Hey, I think there you go. I think you have a selling point. That's it. Close deal. You know what?
Yes.
You're the new person. You know, when Lily decided to leave the way she did, that was it. That's all we needed.
Yeah. So I like him a lot. I, you know, he does have that good guy thing, but he also has, like, he's a genuinely good guy. He's not like Ted.
He questions his own decisions. And I think that's something that is missing from a lot of the male characters is they don't question their own decisions. They just keep running and they don't stop and think.
I agree. I think that's a big issue. Yes. So basically almost any scene he's in, I love and adore. And I love Jason Segel so dang much. I can't help it. That's what really kept me going when I was watching this. And I'd be like, oh gosh, it would be him. I'd be just the idea that, okay, you're going to be able to watch him though. So that kept me going.
Is it terrible? I remember more of his side stories than even like Ted's or like Robin's side. Because I remember all of his. Like in my mind, when you were asking about favorite things, I was like, oh, I better not make it just focused on him. Like I should touch on other things.
No, that's not terrible at all because he's a good guy. I think, I'm trying to think in polls. I think is usually the number one character. Him and Barney usually seem to be the top two.
Yeah, a lot of people just love the dramatics of Barney. I think that's more of a telling thing about Neil Patrick Harris as an actor. He's very much the one for the flair of dramatics. Like, that's just him.
Well, he's a theater actor. Yeah. More than anything. And you can see that in a lot of roles he takes and a lot of the way he does stuff. I'm not necessarily saying Doogie Howser, but his other stuff after Doogie Howser, you can see that the theatricality to him and you know, I mean, he's hosted the Tony Awards like a bunch of times, right?
He's done it several times after that even.
Him and Hugh Jackman hosted them a couple times though too, right? But I think Neil Patrick Harris is the main one who's done it like the most, I think. But so he's very, very much a theater. I think of him as a theater person whenever I think of him, which isn't that often, but
No, we'll just go back to focusing on Jason Segel and how he's just amazing.
He is. I love that man so much. I love him a lot.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Okay, so let's get into the characters then, and your general thoughts on all of the four main. I mean, we can also talk about Vicky, who ends up being the mom too, if you want to. But the four main, no, four, five. Sorry,
Ted. Oh yeah, Ted. We just want to forget about Ted. That's really what it comes down to, Erin. We're just so tired.
What? Yeah, there's Ted is there too.
Truthfully though, there needed to be a character like Ted in existence, okay? There needed to be a character like him because I don't think men looked in the mirror and saw how terrible they were being until this show happened. I'm going to be very truthful. I think he broke the nice guy character because there's not as many nice guy characters now in TV or in real life. They sometimes are out here, but they are very much open about saying, you know, like, I'm here to fuck around now. Like, they're not messing around as much. And there's ways to tell the signs now. I think many women have watched this show and they're like, there's telltale signs. Like, this man, he gives it off. Like, absolute red flag everywhere he goes. But Ted, I think, needed to exist to break the pixie girl fantasy. That's the best way I can explain it because Robin is very much that fantasy girl for him or that woman. It's very mysterious and they do all these adventurous things, but like it could never be because she just can't commit to him. And even though he's the perfect guy, he broke that horrible trope for a long time. We still see it here now. It's not as frequent, though. And I do genuinely think it is because of this stupid show, because I think everyone was so infuriated with this man, especially with the finale and how it went. The fact that he found his perfect person, he's still thinking about Robin. Still.
I know, which made no sense. No fucking sense. Sorry. But man, the second he met her, that was, it seemed like that was over. And then.
And that's like, I've been on dates with guys like Ted before. So I saw immediately the minute he locked eyes with her, I knew. I was like, oh my God, this is a stalker. It's like, and I'm sorry, that's what he is.
He
is. Nobody can fight me on it. He's a stalker. He's a horrible person. He just has these weird fantasies. And the way Lily tolerates him, and my next person, Lily, I love Lily, even though she's done bad things. I think she was justified with the fact that she was in a boys club and she is at heart a girly girl and she needed girlfriends. Like, she needed to have her own group of women that she could go do things with that were not babysitting these men. So yes. I can understand why when she was supposed to marry Marshall, she left. She was like, no, I need to pursue my art dream. Like, I'm beautiful. I'm sexy. You know, men want me still. Like, fuck it. Like, I'm going to do it all. I'm not here to just babysit and be a mother. Like, that's not who I am. And they need to respect me as not being that. And I think that was one of the times where Marshall really grew as a character, because he realized, oh, I do depend a lot on Lily. She was someone I really defined myself by. I became a conglomerate blob because of her. Mm-hmm. And even though that's like a good thing, and that I think watching them scared me initially when I was younger, when I watched the show, because I didn't want to get in a relationship because I didn't want to be a conglomerate glob. I didn't want to just be the couple. I still wanted to be Megan. And, you know, watching Lily and Marshall actually get through that, I thought that was really impressive. Like, I've never seen a show really go through that in the way they did before, of like watching them both go through like their good days, but then also their really, really bad days.
Yeah.
And how they kind of work through that. That was one of my favorite season endings, as well as episode beginning, season beginnings, because, you know, there was a lot of questions. I remember when I was watching this, you know, with that season finale, I was like, what's going to happen now? Like, what happens to the gang? Like, what's going on? Like, do we lose Lily? Like, I already lost her as Willow in Buffy. Like, so I felt like two heartbreaks with this woman. That's all I'm saying. And Robin, you know, I love Robin, but I also hate Robin. Like, as I said earlier, she's got this whole thing of like, you know, I'm the hot shit girl. And like, she has problems when if Ted meets someone, she does kind of size them up a little bit. I do notice this throughout the show of her, you know, like, I'm still the hottest thing. I need to maintain this status and can't just back down and be like, you know what? I'm happy for my friend. I don't need to go through this extra jump or hoop jumping that I've been doing to prove that, like, you know, I'm valuable in this group. I really wanted more of that from her and not all these daddy issues. It just, that's all Robin represented to me, was daddy issues that were unresolved. Like, she needed therapy. I wanted somebody to tell her so bad to go to therapy. And I think somebody at her job finally told her.
Yeah,
and then she like spazzed out, and I think this was right before she married Barney, because she's hiding under her desk when it happened to. She's like being a little troll, eating food or whatever, and like I don't need therapy, like, and it's like, yes you do, yes
badly.
You do. but the only other character that really stood out to me, aside from the main ones, is Stella. She played the love interest in the Scrubs too. The blonde lady, right? God, I can't remember her name.
Yes, she was also, I always think of her also because she came in Roseanne, and she ended up taking over for Becky when the original actress that played Becky left to go to college.
That's
she came
right.
in and reprised that role. So I'll look up her name now.
That's connecting. Thank you, Erin. I appreciate that. Like,
Allie, you know, Sarah Chalk.
Sarah Chalk, I think. I think that as an actress, she constantly had to be forced into these roles of taking care of men and seeing it again with Ted. And I already hated Ted. I was so heartbroken. I was really hoping that he would try and go with Britney Spears and forget about Stella and leave her alone, because Britney Spears played the assistant, and that was a cool cameo. Mm-hmm. That was such a cool cameo. And Britney Spears had to fight for that because she really wanted to go on there, and her family didn't actually want her to. So it was really cool that they were actually able to do that. and do something she wanted. But Stella, yeah, I don't know. I just felt bad because she very much called him out even on the first meeting of what kind of guy Ted was. And he still kept pushing and pushing until it just became harassment. And I think that was the character that it really broke my heart when it didn't work out. Because she was one where she knew who he was since the get-go, and he just kept going until he used her up. And I think that was the time I was like, I'm so tired of Ted. I can't watch this anymore. I took the longest break after that. I was like, I can't stand Ted. but then they were like, you need to watch the ending. I didn't. I really didn't. I could have left that show. That's all I'm saying. I did not need to watch that ending at all. It's kind of cool how they wrapped it up before they came out with the actual ending of it all. Of that, just that. I'm just calling it that.
Yes.
I don't want to ever see a blue French horn again. That's all I'm saying. But those are my general thoughts about them as characters. And I also hate that they are all jerks to everyone around them and nothing seems to happen to them as a result of it. Like, not everyone in New York is a bad person that hurts everyone except people they care about. Like, I'm sorry, that's not real. People are rude because people are rude to other people, and that is a ripple effect. But I didn't like that dynamic either. Of like, you know, we're this important group. Like, everyone should bow down to us, even these bar people or whatever. And they don't even know their names. Nothing. Just nothing. And it just such a lack of plot, honestly. It was disappointing. That's how this show felt. Disappointing. You can take it over.
Oh, no, I agree with a lot of what you said there. I'll start with Ted because I hate this character. I really, there's nothing redeeming about him. And this is a character you will see in 100 billion romantic comedies. And he, and also a lot of the, you'll also see this character. And I love independent films. I love indies. I'm an indie geek. But you will see this character in a lot of indie films where he is, and I think he's actually played this character in an independent film before too. The same actress played it. But you'll see this lost little hurt little white boy who has all these mommy daddy issues, and he's trying to find his way in the world, and he doesn't know how to find his way in the world until he meets that perfect woman who really has no agency, and her only purpose is to bring him purpose. And that's what Robin was to him. I think Robin, I don't think he gave a crap about Robin. I don't think he cared one iota about her. And it's interesting because I had never really thought of the manic pixie dream girl thing with her before until you mentioned that, Megan. But that's pretty true. And it's funny because we just recently talked about New Girl, which I love New Girl. I absolutely love that show. I think that show does things that this show only wishes it could do, especially when it comes to healthy male friendships and healthy friendships with women, too, and healthy relationships. And while that one also has that, because Zooey Deschanel is very much typecast into that manic pixie dream girl because of 500 Days of Summer. But I think what New Girl did right that this one doesn't do right is it gave the character a new girl. It gave Jess more agency than it gave Robin, because Robin is supposed to be this very independent woman that every man in the world wants, is the way she's, you know, characterized as every man wants her, but no man can get her. So she's like this unattainable thing that you want just to attain her, not because you like her or respect her, but because you want to get her. And that's icky. That's just gross. And to me, Ted, that's what his whole thing is he wants her because he feels he can't have her. And then when he has her, and I mean, I'm just saying has her in the fact of the way he's thinking about it, when he's with her, he no longer cares about her. So my guess is after they get together in the end, which was so stupid, they'll last another 2 months and then he'll get bored with it because he's got this image in his head of her being this perfect female specimen that will be there for him and make him feel better about his life. And so now that he's lost his wife, she will be there to make him feel better about his life and to not have to be a widower anymore, that kind of thing. That's the way it strikes me. And with Robin, what's so annoying about this show to me with Robin is Robin very clearly in the beginning talks a lot about how she does not want to have kids. You know, that's okay if a woman doesn't want to have kids. I don't want to have kids. I know other women who don't want to have kids. Being a woman is not solely defined by being a mother. And what I didn't appreciate is this show seemed to want to put it that, well, eventually she'll want to have kids. And then when they made it so she can't have kids, it was almost like they did that as a way to hurt her in this very unnecessary way, instead of just being like, I don't want to have kids, just deciding I don't want to have kids. And that being perfectly okay, it seemed like the show wasn't okay with that. And Ted really wasn't okay with that either. That was a big sticking point in their relationship. And that was another thing that he couldn't control, because that's what Ted's about. Ted wants to control everybody. He thinks he's better than everybody in his life. It's so flippant irritating. The way he judges his friends is so obnoxious. People that are supposed to be like his dearest and closest friends, he treats like garbage. You know, especially Marshall, I think more than anybody, and even Lily. I mean, Lily's supposed to be like his best friend. And I don't think he respects her very much. I don't think he respects anybody, because he feels like he's way up in the stratosphere and he's way above everybody else. And I think it's very telling for his character that the first time Marshall meets Ted, he thinks Ted is like the dean or whatever of the school. And he's like, oh my gosh, I'm not smoking weed. I'm not doing that. I'm not getting high. I'm not doing that. It was hilarious because he wasn't. He was his roommate. So that kind of sums it up. But yeah, I don't like Ted. I think he's a horrible character. And he is very much that quintessential nice guy who's really not a nice guy. He just comes across as a nice guy. And he's more dangerous as far as emotionally and anything like that to be in a relationship with, I would argue, than Barney is. Because Barney is himself. Barney is never hiding the fact that, yes, he does lie and manipulate to get women into bed, but he's never trying to come off as anything other than a womanizer. I mean, he knows who he is. And I think for Barney, the reason he is that way is because he's dealing with a lot of daddy issues. But I think he's also just, he had a lot of, he was very self-conscious, and he was in a relationship where he really loved a woman and she cheated on him and left him and all this stuff. And I think once that happened, and once he focused just on being a ladies' man and not caring about feelings, he shut himself off so much from that when he started having feelings for Robin, I think it took him by surprise so much that's why they were so on and off for so long. But they were perfect for each other because they actually understood each other in a way that other people didn't. And they respected each other in a way that other people didn't. And they were sexually compatible in a way that I don't think Robin was with anybody else. And I think that's important. Honestly, it's really important in a relationship.
It is, and at least the top five important things in a relationship, like, hands down.
Yeah, they desired each other a lot. I'm not saying that's all there is to a relationship. Of course not. But I think that is a big chunk of a relationship is your sexual compatibility. And I think they had that a lot more than Ted and Robin did. Ted and Robin were like, I don't know, like, you know, the little school kids. Ooh, I'm giving you a little kiss on the cheek and I'm going to run away, or I'm going to pull your pigtails. I mean, that's who Ted is.
The negging. Oh my God. It was horrible.
Yes. Sorry. I just hate that character so much. Lily and Marshall. Lily, you know, I struggled with Lily sometimes. It was nice to see Allison Hannigan in a role that wasn't like Willow, though. It was nice to see her in this role where she can be a little bit sarcastic. She can be not a brat isn't the right word, what I'm looking for. But were there also, you know, with Buffy, she was typecast so much as the nerdy one. And there are times when she's like that in this too. But she's also
she's just more outgoing and just a lot more, I guess, extroverted is a good term for it, because of her acting abilities to be this character who is like a teacher, but also much more than that.
Yeah. And she's an artist, and she's, And you know, I understand why people might have been angry when she left Marshall. But frankly, they were, like you said, they were so meshed together and they were almost to the verge of almost being codependent. They were almost on that verge there. And that's not healthy. And so I think it was good for both of them to have that time apart and then realize they really love each other. They're soulmates. They absolutely are soulmates. But I think it was important that they had that separate time because they were so young when they became soulmates. They were in college and in their early 20s or probably even late teens, early 20s when they met. And that's young to meet that person and then your whole life is about marrying that person eventually. I mean, that's really young. So I'm glad that she did that. And she might have been able to go about it a little bit differently, but I still was happy for her. And I think that was fine that she did it and she deserved that. She's interesting because I think she does want so badly to have a female friendship. And I think Robin, she really clings to Robin. And I think it takes Robin a long time to really feel clingy, not clingy, but feel like she is friends with Lily in the same kind of way, because Robin is so much that doesn't want a girl friend in her life or doesn't have girls in her life really. So their relationship is interesting. I mean, I think they could have delved into it a little bit more, but I found it interesting to watch the two of them together.
I do wish they had more episodes of just them.
Yes, doing like some, yeah.
Just doing their own thing rather than focusing on putting Robin with someone constantly, because I felt like that definitely took back on her character.
Yes, yes. She always had to be with someone. She always had to be, you know, she was the one that all the men wanted. And Lily even, you know, there was.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, Lily even wanted her. So it was like she was the one that was desired by all the characters. So, yeah. And then Marshall, I love Marshall. Marshall's my favorite, like I said. Marshmallow, which fits him to a T. He's such a good friend. He's such a good husband. He loves Lily so much. Like, and I mean in a healthy way, he like loves everything about her. When I say healthy relationships are like where you love someone because of every kind of annoying thing they do, because of every part of them, I think that's the way he feels about Lily. There is nobody prettier than Lily. There is nobody better than Lily. There is nobody that he would rather spend his life with than Lily. And that's what I appreciated so much about his character. Not just that, but the fact that he's the only guy that doesn't seem to care about Robin in that sexual way at all, which was nice. There wasn't like this thing of like, ooh, yeah, she's really hot and I'm going to get with, if only Lily was as hot as her. There was none of that ever with him, really.
Well, they challenged that in that one episode where I don't know what the other people were doing, but it was a Marshall and Robin episode. And that's when they found that they mm-hmm. could talk about sports together because they both enjoy this thing. And it was nice to see them both be like children and just talk about something and enjoy it without someone actually desiring Robin. And I actually think that helped Robin to realize, oh, men can be my friends. Like, it doesn't need to always be sexual tension or I'm an object. And it was actually one of the most wholesome episodes. I cried during that one just because it was so cute. But
because that's what I appreciated was it wasn't ever a thing. There was never any kind of sexual tension between them ever. And whereas Robin was always having sexual tension with everybody. And so it was really nice to not have that and have them have a friendship. And, you know, he's just the really good friend. He's just a really good friend and a really good caring human being. I think some of his stuff might get kind of annoying, like the football stuff and I don't know, like the sports stuff, because I'm not a big sports person. But
I'll be the one to say it's the Minnesota thing and his family. Yes. Lily being scared to have Marshall's children was my favorite episode, because I too feel that way as a petite person. So seeing her get this culture shock of this small town boy and then these 7-foot giants around her, I absolutely understood why she got scared. And I mean, yeah. It's nice that he grew up from that and, like, matured and realized, you know, like, I can't always just be a small town boy. I need to be Marshall. Mm-hmm. And I think his growth was the best growth, hands down.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked him till the end. I thought he was a great, great character, great dad, great husband, great everything. Yeah, I don't really have too much negative about him, to be honest. So, I would have rather had the Marshall show, especially to So a lot of my issues with this show are, I think there's a lot of gay panic in this show, which was very typical of shows around that time before that, very much like in the same vein as Friends. There was a lot of sexism, I think. Do you think that was an issue in the show or any other issues you had?
Absolutely. The gay panic in the show, and that's why I thought it was very interesting that Neil Patrick Harris even took on this role to begin with, considering his real life orientation and everything. Mm-hmm. Just because he's enacting someone that is supposed to be the biggest perpetrator of this character flaw of, you know, oh, that's homo, so blah, blah, like, you know, saying really weird, terrible slurs like that. And it was actually never him, though. So I don't know if that was, like, because, you know, he fought back against that kind of character thing, or if the writers chose to make Ted the one that was more fearful of being perceived as gay. But it was always Ted that had this strange fear of being perceived as gay. And, you know, honestly, like, I did question at the beginning when we, like, first met Ted when he was in college years with Marshall. I was like, oh, this is someone that could potentially have, like, you know, some interest in his sexuality, but, like, the more you get to know him and his family, you realize, oh, like, this was a definite no-no thing in his life, and he's just projecting that onto others, mm-hmm. like, this huge vomiting thing. However, I think what bothered me even more than that was the sexism, but also the implication of, and this is where I don't like Barney, of, you know, having Lily and Robin have sex together. Like, that was a constantly seen as a joke in the show, and that bothered me. Marshall biting back on that, I did like that. He did fight, and he's like, no, like, that's not cool. Like, they're your friends. Like, even though that Marshall is, like, you know, that's his woman, and I say that very loosely because he never really did it that way. He more did it along the lines of, like, respect them. Like, they're our friends. And it was nice to see him push back on Barney in that way because, you know, Barney could be a harmful character if there's not someone reminding him, you know, like, these are our friends. We're not supposed to think of them this way. If you want that, go hire someone, like, or go watch porn. Like, there are ways to indulge in this fantasy without hurting people. Like, we don't need to hurt someone as a result of it. And I think that's why with Ted, I've always had the biggest issue with him is because even if, like, someone just was being nice to him, that was a guy, he would automatically, like, ruffle up and get his all manly feathers all bothered and, like, oh, no, like, I'm the man here, blah, blah. Like, I don't want anyone telling me anything or complimenting me, blah, blah, blah. And I think it was very important because I think a lot of people at that time associated the nice guys not doing that as someone who was, you know, like, oh, like, I'm sensitive and I care about girls and their feelings. Yeah. No, it absolutely is not. It is absolutely a show of character. It is all character. And Ted was truly, I think, the biggest thorn in my side when it came to him, you know, judging too young of people. His ageism and the fact that he felt like, oh, like, I'm old and wise and you're young and stupid. Like, I thought that was stupid, too. Like, he could learn something from these kids that were going out and doing things. And then with old people, he would be like, oh, like, you're old and dumb and I'm young and youthful and rebel. And it was just like this constant, like, something was always a Nig. His name should have just been Nig. Or, like, he was the biggest proponent of this constant fear that was happening. And I hated seeing that in the show. Cause I feel like if they would have toned that down, I feel like the show could have been better and we would have seen other good things come out of the show or even more complex episodes, like maybe even dealing with one of the characters potentially engaging with their sexuality a little bit more, or, even just the idea of like, you know, like maybe women talking about what it's like being in their jobs and, you know, trying to make it through. Robin would have been a great character for that. And they constantly knocked her down, especially in this news organization where she was just seen as, oh, you're just supposed to be just this reporter or the secondary anchor. Like, you don't deserve more than that. And it was frustrating because even how they handled the sexual harassment between her and one of the members in that news organization, it wasn't okay. Like, it was very much like swept under the rug. Nobody really thought about it. And Robin was just supposed to internalize this. Like, that's not how that's supposed to work. So I definitely think the newer show does handle these issues better. Granted, it is an entirely different show. It has a more diverse cast. There's more interesting stories than someone being just bogged down in their feelings all the time. We do have a nagging character a little bit, but he plays more along the lines of Marshall. And I think that's why I like him in the show as being that guy, because he understands. He stops himself. He's like, you know what? I'm being too critical right now. And he will actually stop himself and shut it down, let the person actually talk that's trying to talk to him. So, I mean, there's some improvement, but again, I think that's just the problem with this How I Met Your Mother franchise as a whole, is their dependency on this idea of negging.
Yeah, that's a good way. That's a really good way to put it. Yeah. And, you know, I think they try to make up for the gay panic by having Barney's brother be a gay man. And I think they were trying to say, okay, well, since his brother is a gay man, that'll make it okay that we are doing this gay panic stuff. And it doesn't. I mean, you know, going back again to New Girl, what I so appreciated about New Girl is you had these men who were very intimate with each other, very close friendships. And there was never that gay panic. There was never that, oh, we should not be doing this. I mean, there's even a moment where Nick kisses Schmidt and there's not this immediate like, oh my gosh, that's gay. That's gay. No, it's more, you know, Schmidt just says, I think you needed that more than I even needed that. And it's never thought of as like this. It's just like, oh, we're just two friends and whatever.
It happens.
It was not even like, and it was, that's what I appreciated about New Girl so much, is it didn't have this, which I was worried was going to happen because so many of these shows did. And the gay panic with Ted is a perfect character for him to have gay panic because he thinks he is such a good person and he thinks he's on this moral high ground and he's really not. He's the most judgmental of all of them. And he's someone who thinks because he's a good person. I don't know why. I think some guys around that time that you would see on shows and TV and movies and stuff would be like, if they were the good guys, people would think, well, you might be gay. And so I don't know. It was this weird thing that a lot of white men seem to go through during that time on TV and movies.
It's like they loosely connected it to the idea that they were bullied growing up to being gay. Mm-hmm. And I think that I call bull crap on that. Like, I don't think that's a legitimate thing. I understand, like, you know, like things having trauma and affecting you. But at the end of the day, it's like, you know, that was when you were a kid and kids were being jerks back then. Like, these are not the people that you carried into life with you. So, no.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. It was terrible writing.
And you're born with your sexuality. It's not something that because you're bullied, you are going to, that's going to make you gay. That's a bunch of bullshit. But yeah, it was just icky. And I did always wonder that with Neil Patrick Harris, you know, if that was hard for him at all internally ever to have to deal with that or be on a show that had a lot of that kind of stuff on there. I mean, I don't know if he's ever talked about that. As far as I know, he has nothing but good things to say about this show. So I just think that's interesting, you know, how that might have been for him to do that. And for with Robin and Lily, you know, there was always – Lily always seemed – she was very open about the fact that she thought Robin was very sexually attractive. And I appreciated that when she was open with that, it was never like this weird thing. But then it was turned into this thing by the guise of, well, let's, you know, if they kiss, that's so hot. The whole thing of men liking watching two women together and getting off on that and fetishizing that. And so that was icky and gross. The sexism in this show is mind-blowing. Honestly, that was probably my bigger problem with the show was the sexism, because all of these men, even Marshall to a degree, and I love Marshall, absolutely, are sexist. They are misogynistic. And Barney is the most upfront, quote-unquote upfront one, but Ted is 1,000 times worse than Barney when it comes to this. And a lot of the stuff on here, it's just gross. It's just women are nothing more than objects. Even the women they have in their life that they love and adore are nothing more than sexual objects. I think with Robin, with her job, you know, they would try so many times to point to the fact that there was so much sexism in there and sexual harassment, but they never really followed through. It was just like they put it there and then they never really followed through on it. And it was more of a joke. It was never really dealt with properly like it should have been. And yes, this is a comedy, but that doesn't mean you can't handle stuff appropriately. You can't hide behind comedy as an excuse for being sexist.
I'm not one to watch like animation all that much, but Tuca and Birdie, it deals with a lot of stuff like that. Like one of the characters in there is, you know, sexually harassed by her boss. And it's a comedy show. I mean, they're all like little animals. Like they're not even like one of the characters, Ali Wong plays a little Robin bird. And then like Tiffany Haddish, she plays a toucan, and they handle that in there. Like there's this big rooster character and he was like showing his weight around and like touching on girls, and they still handled it in a funny way, but they handled it. It's not that hard to do.
Yeah. BoJack Horseman, we talked about earlier this year. Actually, that was last year. Handled that too, did that as well. And that's a cartoon, and it's funny, but they handled it in a very good way. And so it's like, you can do that in comedies. It is allowed. You're allowed to handle tough subject matter and handle it in a good way. And that just really turned me off with this. And I wonder, you know, I did wonder while I was watching this, because I love Friends, and I know Friends is problematic as hell, but I still love the show and I can recite episodes. And this is very similar to Friends, but I don't like this show. And I wonder if I had watched this show when it first came out, if I would have different feelings about it because of the fact that, you know, it is so
honestly
of the time.
Honestly, Aaron, knowing you, like I'd like to think I know you. I don't think so, because you are not someone that appreciated because I feel like How I Met Your Mother was someone, or the average person of, you know, they like to go out to bars, they like to, you know, hang out with other people. They just wanted to watch their life on TV. And that's what this show felt like. And I think that's how people, when they watched Friends, felt like. But Friends, they hung out at a cool coffee shop, at least. Like, here, they were at a dingy little bar. Like, no.
Yeah, and I mean, I've hung out at dingy. I used to hang out with a dingy bar with men and play poker all the time and be the only woman there. But it was different.
I was about to say, like, were you around, like, these kind of people, though, of just, like...
No, it was, like, it was a hole-in-the-wall kind of very haunted bar in Colorado.
Oh, well, that's fun.
But it was very much a hole-in-the-wall in a very, quote-unquote, bad area that's now completely gentrified. But so it was not this kind of bar at all. But yeah, I mean, and Friends, I think I was young. It's not an excuse, but I was younger when Friends first started watching it. And it was very much, you know, like the show that now I look back on it. And when I watch it, I go, oh God, oh my gosh, talk about gay panic. yeah. And the fat phobia and stuff like that in there, and sexism and all of that was big in there, but I still appreciate that show. But I think it's because it's got such this nostalgia thing to it. But I mean, this show, you're right, I probably would have never liked this show, but I just always wondered about that when I was watching it, if I was being too hard on it.
No, because this show clung onto that idea. Remember when people would dress up to go to the clubs, like they would be in business attire? Yes. They very much clung to this idea. And I think that's why it aged so poorly, because that itself didn't age well at all. Like, we're not New York and Company, or like, no, absolutely no. Nobody wants to be in a club in business wear. I'm sorry, but it is trashy. It is uncomfortable. You sweat in it. You ruin the fabrics. I don't recommend it. No, absolutely not.
No.
People are smarter now. People understand that if they want to go out and party, you go out in something that's a little bit freeing, like cotton. Cotton is your best friend.
Clubbing tips with me. No, when I used to go dancing because I used to go dancing constantly because I love going dancing. Now I really want to go dancing. And there would be certain people that would dress a certain way and then other, but I went to a lot of places that played like 80s music and then a lot of places where there were a lot of goths. So that's totally
different. She's like, I actually had taste. Thank you. Aaron's like, everyone else can that, sit down.
No, I don't know if you can say that necessarily, but yeah. But yeah, no, I want to go dancing. Okay, we're done. I'm going to go dance.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So we're going to talk about the ending. And I'll spoil the ending right now if you haven't seen this.
You
so
can
just
log
warning.
Off.
Yeah, you can stop now if you don't want to know how this ended. I'm sure you already know, though. Even if you didn't watch this show, you know, I knew how it ended.
How long has it been? It's been about a decade.
It's been a long time. And most people know. But anyway, so you finally learn who Ted marries. And you learn it in throughout the final season, season 9. You see his mother. Sorry, his kid's mother. His wife, you see her
Are
a
you
lot.
Sure, because I feel like she had to raise two.
yes, and she's another manic pixie dream girl. Really, I mean, she really is. And
how it was all tied to this yellow umbrella that he lost on St. Patrick's
umbrella.
Day.
Him and his stupid yellow umbrella, blue. It's like he's just
summer and then autumn. Like
yes. Exactly.
We're not a Robert Frost poem, okay? I'm tired. We can let go of Robert Frost. Let him rest.
Oh my gosh, that's so true. Yes, yes. So anyway, so he meets her. She ends up playing in a band at Robin and Barney's wedding. And then the final episode keeps going forward in time. And it turns out that his wife, well, Robin and Barney get divorced. So stupid, in my opinion. One thing I did like was Barney becoming a father, because I actually thought that was perfect and fit him perfectly when he met his daughter and he held her and said, "You are the love of my life." That to me fit Barney to a T. That I have no
that
issue.
That one was the most legitimate ending. I was like, this is the end of the Playboy. Finally, put it to rest.
Yes. Yes. And it made sense. I know it's a trope, but it still made sense to me to have that happen with Barney. But anyway, so Ted's wife dies. I don't know what she died. She got sick. So probably cancer would be my assumption. And that beautiful, well-lit hospital bedside scene where he's holding her hand and reading a book. And I'm like, oh my God. That was so ridiculous. And then his kids say, and the creator, I want to say the creator said this was the plan from the very beginning, that there were hints sprinkled throughout the whole entire series that this is how it was going to end. Everybody always knew it was going to end this way. So the kids say, because he said, "That's how I met your mother," because, you know, they met at a bus stop kind of when they were leaving the wedding, and the yellow umbrella came in and it was this meet cute whatever. And then his kids say, "No, I don't think that's why you told us this story. You told us this story to tell us that you still love Robin and you're trying to make sure it's okay with us, so you need to be with Robin." And then he goes and the blue trombone and outside of her window, and she's got all the dogs again, and they, you assume, live happily ever after. So people hate this ending. I don't think I've heard from a single person that likes this ending. And I know a lot of fans, including Meg, who was originally supposed to be on this episode And she just couldn't bring herself to watch the show again. The finale ruined the show for her. She can't even watch it anymore. So, Megan, your thoughts on this finale?
So, I mean, I knew this was where it was all heading. The fact that the kids always looked annoyed. And don't get me wrong, like, kids are naturally annoyed. But I was like, oh, no. This is kids that had to grow up with a narcissist because I had to do that. I was like, this man is interrupting their lives. They're probably busy doing something. And he's actually sitting them down to tell them this long-winded narrative about why he was such a great husband and had these wonderful kids and how he deserves to have his loins stroked by Robin.
I'm sorry. That was the best way to put it.
That's how it felt. It was just, I felt as disappointed as the kid sitting there. I was like, I am this child. I am absolutely sitting here like, why are we here? We don't need this. This could have been an entirely different show and you chose to make it trash. Like, so, I mean, I knew it was headed this way. I knew in my heart, and I watched it anyways for the other characters, but I had hope. I was like, oh, maybe they'll let that go. Maybe they'll just let this happen. No, absolutely not. They were not letting that go. They were like, no, Ted has to, you know, fulfill his destiny of being the nice guy that actually gets what he wants and upsetting everyone in the world as a result of it. I hate this ending. Not as much as I hated the Dexter ending, because that one, not the original. That one, and that was, I watched that one shortly before I finished the ending of this show. And after I watched that, that's when I stopped watching this show, specifically How I Met Your Mother. And I was like, nope. I was like, we are not continuing.
I'm going to do it again.
Forward. These writers are trash. They don't know what they're doing. You know, I feel like I got no real closure out of that. And no offense, I love Robin, but I don't believe she has that many dogs still. I have a hard time holding on to that belief, like, that, you know, going up all them stairs all the time, like, that's got to do something to your knees. maybe, like, an army of little Pomeranians. I don't know. Like, everything, even with Marshall becoming a judge, was an interesting choice. Because he was the environmental lawyer, and then he went to corporate law, and that was upsetting. And yeah, he became the judge, but, like, he feels like every other judge that I know in my real life job. Like, I like them, but there's some questionable things that they do because, you know, they age in and they think they're superior to a certain degree. So I think in that essence, he kind of became the new nice guy in the courtroom. But very good family man. I will give him that. I feel bad for Ted's children, though. I would never speak to him again after that. Absolutely. Like, I would just, because he would be so focused on Robin anyways, I would just move out. I'd be like, let him have his 2 months. And when he's calling me, I'd be like, oh, like, I'm so sorry. I'm so busy. oh, there's bad service. Sorry. Click. Like, I feel like I needed that. I needed there to be a season of his kids just ignoring him to feel better about all this.
Yeah, I mean, it was just ridiculous. It's like, what was so ridiculous about this is not just the fact that he ended up being with Robin in the end, which was the stupidest pairing. I think Robin and Barney made perfect sense. Stupid to break them up. Like I said, the finale should have been Robin and Barney's wedding. And then right afterwards, you could show Ted meeting Vicky and then say, that's how I met your mother. And that's it. Wrap it up with a bow. Done. We're done. That would have been so much better than this crap, because what was so awful about this is it made zilch sense. It was spitting in the face of the fans. It was basically saying, you have sat here, you've watched this show for years and years and years, leading up to what the whole premise is supposed to be telling about how I met your mother, only to really be this tale of how I pined over this woman for years and years and years, even when I was married to another person, and my kids are giving me permission to go and get this woman. And I would have loved it if Robin would have said, no, sorry, not interested, goodbye.
That should have happened.
That should have happened because it was so, it made no sense. None whatsoever. I don't even think they had good chemistry. It was just
they made it seem that because she was an old maid, that this is why she succumbed to this.
Yes.
And it was so agitating. Yes. They acted like Barney and her ruined each other and their divorce was just so rough on her. Ugh.
Which they made each other, but what was also frustrating is watching this right after watching when Barney and Robin got married was so frustrating because when Barney is trying to write his vows and then he finally says, you know, there's only one vow I'm going to make to you that I will be honest with you. I will be, you know, I will never lie to you again. And I love you. And that's all. And it was this very real moment. And then to then have them get divorced to me was like spitting in the face of their whole relationship and what their relationship did for each other. It was basically saying, no, that was a bunch of bullshit. We didn't really mean any of that. We actually weren't good together. We actually were going to make each other worse. And Barney's just going to go back to being, you know, sleeping around with all these women until he has a daughter, which I liked the daughter part, but you could have even done that with Robin, since it was very obvious to me that even though, like I said, I would have preferred if they'd kept it where she didn't want to have kids. I think it was obvious she did want to have kids. So you could have even had them adopt a kid, have a surrogate, anything like that. And you still could have had that scene with Barney having a kid. And it could have been their kid. And it would have been fine if you had had Ted end up with his other manic pixie dream girl. That would have been fine. But this ending was so, like, basically it felt like they became completely lazy. That's why it blows my mind that this is what they had planned at the beginning, because this was so lazy. This was one of the most glaring examples of lazy writing I have ever seen on television. I do think the original Dexter finale is worse than this, but that's because I was more invested in Dexter than
Absolutely.
This. But this is still horrible. This is a real big way to spit in the face of your fans. And I don't get it. I don't understand it. I honestly do not understand it.
I don't know at all. What old white man that owned the rights to this TV show made happy, but you made everyone else very upset, and I hate you.
Yeah, and I mean, I haven't watched How I Met Your Father, that one. I haven't watched that one. So I don't know if they're trying to make up for that or if they,
well, I
don't know.
Well, I'm fearful of this show just because it's like.
Yeah, I would think so.
I have secondhand trauma from this particular show, so I'm fearful for the second one. But again, I'm watching it because of the other characters. The other characters are just so much more compelling. I'm sorry, but. Even I love these original characters. They did bring back Robin at the end of the final episode of this new season with Hilary Duff as our lead, which is refreshing. I love this for Hilary Duff because I grew up watching Lizzie McGuire. I lived that fantasy and I want to relive it. I love seeing her in this role as someone like trying to figure out how to date and like having just these complex relationships with a lot of different people, and it's just, it's enjoyable. I want more of this kind of interaction, but the love interest, the perceived original love interest, which may change throughout, I don't really know. I'm hoping it does. We'll see. he has a sister. She's the character I've been most invested in, and that's why I'm watching this show, because she is this wonderful Asian lesbian woman trying to find her place in New York and also find, like, this amazing, like, opportunity in life and great, like, job and everything, and I'm just so invested in her. And I love Hilary Duff's best friend, too, like, great style and everything, but the sister is just far more compelling to me just because she is someone that, you know, represents someone that is going through a lot of changes as well as dealing with like discrimination from other people. And also like having to be like, hold up, like, you know, I'm still here too. I don't want to just focus on all of you. We can talk about me. And I was like, I wanted that so bad for Marshall. I wish Marshall would have done that. And the only time I really felt like he did that was during the slap bet or like Slapsgiving and how he made like a whole show of it. Like, That was amazing. I rewatch that on occasion when I just want to feel better about myself. Because he has his own little That's countdown, funny. Like little thing ready. And I love it. I absolutely love it.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, it's time to go to our newest segment. I don't know if Megan's playing 6 Degrees of Finn. There are a couple ways in this show. Are you playing?
I will do my best.
Okay. Okay. So what do you have? How are you connecting Finwira?
Okay. So, you know, unfortunately, we don't have like a tall, dark, and handsome in this show, which is the most unfortunate thing. But we do have the news anchor. And the news anchor is very tall, dark, and handsome. And I did want to, at one point in my young youth, bang him. But I feel like if Finn Wittrock was the news anchor, then that should have been Robin's husband. That should have been it. That would have been a good fit.
So the way
how do you play this? I'm so sorry. Okay. Like
No. That was interesting because I'm like, I could always use more Finn. So no, the way you play this is, I don't know if you've ever heard of 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon. That's where this originally started.
You're connecting
the actor to the show through another actor. Like you see, did he work with an actor in this show or did an actor in this show work with someone he worked in it with another? So it's that, it's like how many degrees away from this show is
Yes, I see now. I'm very bad at these. He was in All My Children though. Oh yes, he was. I remember. Okay.
I think you and I are the only two that probably
I like how that was my first. He was in All My Children.
I love that. That was hilarious. That's like, well, you and I were the ones who did the daytime soap at the same. Yeah. So, yes, he was in All My Children. You should go. I was watching some of his scenes. I was like, oh yeah, I remember him.
I was like, oh, it just connected. That's why I was like, tall, dark, and handsome. Yes, okay. No, I would love to hear your take on this because I have no idea. I honestly, like, if I sat here and really thought about this, I don't know. Maybe like Halloween Town High.
Well. Okay, well, this one's actually pretty easy once you look at it, but I'm immersed in, you know, I'm a Finn Wittrock fan.
Yes.
So Neil Patrick Harris was in American Horror Story Freak Show, and so was Finn Wittrock. That's like the quickest way. You can also use Neil Patrick Harris in another way because Neil Patrick Harris was in Gone Girl with Ben Affleck, who was in Deep Water, this new movie that recently came out with Finn Wittrock. So there's that. There's also Jason Segel was in Forgetting Sarah Marshall with Mila Kunis, who there's a movie coming out this year called Luckiest Girl Alive with Finn Wittrock in it too. And Mila Kunis is in that. And then Josh Radnor was in an episode of 6 Feet Under with Kathy Bates, who was in American Horror Story Hotel and Freak Show with Finn. So there are a few ways there. So I gave all my
here. No, that's I'm really sure there were more. No, that's fantastic. That was beautiful. I love that.
Thank you. And then just a reminder to our listeners, and Megan, if you want to play it too, we have the listener version on our website. If you go, there is a separate section called 6 Degrees of Finn. And what we're doing is each month we're going to select 4 shows or movies that we have covered in the past. And then what you do as a listener is you submit how Finn is connected to each show in 6 degrees or less. So basically just how many degrees away is Finn Wittrock from these shows. And the shows we have for this time for May is Dexter, True Blood, Chuck, and I keep forgetting like the fourth one. Every time I do this, I forget the flipping fourth one. How do I do that? The last time I did this, I forgot what the fourth one was too. But it was it was Chuck, I forgot. Schitt's Creek. Can't believe I forgot Schitt's Creek. So those 4 shows. So, you know, you can connect him in various different ways. I will give you a hint. At least one of these is supremely super, super easy. So I'll give you that hint. But go there. You could win some merch. So the link is in our show notes. And you have until May 31st. And then the first week of June, we will announce the winner. This will be going on for the foreseeable future. As everyone also might know, Finn Wittrock is our vice mascot. So Christian Bale is still our unofficial mascot. But Finn is our unofficial vice mascot.
It's important to have two. So, let's not be fooled. We need a vice.
Yes, in case something happens. Ooh, to me.
Don't.
I meant personally. I don't mean something like, you know, like if we they fall out of favor, which they never will. We love you, Christian. You will never not be our mascot. But But thank you so much, Megan. Even though I wasn't a fan of the show, this has been fun. So thank you for joining me on this conversation.
At least I can see some good, but also talk about the bad in a healthy, constructive way that wasn't problematic.
Yeah. Thank you. And you're as we always say, you're our anonymous Megan, our anonymous panelist. So I will not ask you where you can be found because I know you don't want to be found. But you can find me on Twitter at eAprilBeauty. The E and the A and the B are capitalized. Be sure to like the show on Facebook at facebook.com/itsafandomthingpod. On Twitter at fandomthingpod. No, it's in that one. On Instagram at itsafandomthingpod. On TikTok at itsafandomthingpod. If you would like to be a potential interview guest on the show, Jason Siegel, I would love to have
Please
you on here.
Do.
Oh, man, that would be a fun chat. That would be so much fun. Head on over to our website, itsafandomthingpod.com. Click the Contact Us button there. Reach out that way. You can also listen to my interviews. I pride myself on how good I am at interviews. I have had people tell me I am the best interview they've ever had. Like, I'm the best at it. So for some people, I'm not trying to, you know, boost myself up here, but I'm just saying I'm really good at this. I really pride myself.
Well, if Erin's not going to boost herself up, I will and say she is. I have that authority to do so. So I will be the one to say she will probably be the best interview you will ever had. Okay, Mr. Siegel. So you just come on to the show and have the best interview ever.
Thank you, Megan. Thank you. But yes, feel free to reach out to us there. You can email us directly at itsafandomthingpod@gmail.com. And next week, we are wrapping up Comedy Month with a look at It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which is going to be a live stream. So that one is going to be on Sunday night, Sunday the 22nd at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm just giving Eastern Standard Time because my other three panelists are on that East Coast. So we're going to have Rachel and Lauren from Sort of Brilliant Podcast, the podcast where they sort characters into Harry Potter houses. And also keep a lookout in August sometime. I believe it's going to be August or later this year. I will be on there sorting three of Finn Wittrock's characters from American Horror Story. So I'm looking forward to that, even though I don't know anything about Harry Potter, but still looking forward to it. And then also Judy will be joining us on that episode. So that should be fun. And then we're going to wrap things up with a look at Happy Endings, which is another new show for me. And then we are going to be kicking off Pride Month soon. So look for promotional videos on that as well. So until next time, remember, it's a fandom thing. Black Lives Matter and stop Asian hate.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.